This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I'm Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo. Our team thanks you for downloading the Rich Zeoli podcast. Relationships matter to all of us. At Cherry Hill Volvo, we will work to gain your trust, your confidence, and in turn, develop a relationship with you, the Rich Zeoli listener.
Now, 60 minutes of nonstop talk on the Rich Zeoli podcast.
The race is on to find drugs to battle COVID-19, coronavirus, Wuhan coronavirus. The race is on, and it's great. Clinical trials are underway on potential treatments in the United States, Italy. It's fantastic. We will beat this thing, no doubt. We'll beat it very, very soon. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. The Zeoli Show on Twitter at Rich Zeoli and Facebook.com/Zeoli Show. There's no doubt there's frustration. We're losing freedoms and liberties every day. It's frustrating. The economy is going to take a massive hit. But I do believe that the fact that now the president has cleared red tape, the FDA is already going in and testing. Human trials are underway. It's great. We also have a lot of people that have survived this thing, and their antibodies are being studied as well to figure out how we can use their antibodies to also fight the coronavirus. So there's great, great hope on the horizon here. And that's important to keep in mind, because every day we're frustrated. We get up, there's nothing to do, there's nowhere to go. A lot of people have lost their jobs. It's very difficult. There's a lot of pain out there. But the good news is that right now, clinical trials are underway on potential treatments for new life-changing drugs, drugs that will fight this virus once and for all. And that's fantastic. That is really, really fantastic. And again, credit where it's due. You gotta thank the president for this, because he said to the FDA, whatever the red tape is, get rid of it. Get working on a treatment for this. Do it now. Get working on this. Here is Vice President Mike Pence, who was discussing the president's partnership with the private sector, because our hospitals are desperately in need of masks and gloves and gowns and respirators and oxygen and that sort of thing. Cut number 9. Cut 9, Greg.
Yeah, hang on one. It's not.
Oh, I think our computer system has the COVID-20. It's the new cyber COVID.
Funny
all right.
Funny.
I didn't know the vice president had a stutter.
Honeywell alone is repurposing a factory that was destined for Mexico to produce another 120 million masks per year. 3M is increasing output to 420 million masks per year. We put a priority at the president's direction on making sure those that are providing healthcare services to America have the protection to keep themselves and their families safe. And with the legislation last night, with the incredible response among these great private sector companies, and as we mentioned repeatedly, with construction companies around America heeding the president's call to donate their industrial masks to hospitals, it's happening all over America. We know we'll meet that need.
But when will those be ready? Isn't that kind of sad?
How many masks are being made, and when will they be ready, or at least we start getting them ready?
Well, as I mentioned, 3M is increasing their output to 420 million a year. At production in January, they make 35 million per month at that facility. And we're prioritizing the distribution of those. But the other thing, and we'll emphasize this with governors this afternoon, is we're working with governors to make sure that the healthcare providers, the hospitals, and the clinics in their state are placing orders now that this tremendous increase in supply, particularly with industrial masks, is now available. We're going to make sure they understand that the supply has greatly expanded thanks to a bipartisan legislation and the accomplishment of the president. And the response by these companies is making more masks available. And we're going to make sure healthcare providers are purchasing those. And the federal government will also make sure that our stockpile is properly reflects those increases as well.
So, the president's question, when will those masks be ready for, because they need them like today?
They're available now. The 3M facility that I was at told me that in January they went to full production on 35 million masks. The legislative change means that all 35 million of those that started to be produced at full capacity in January can now be sold to hospitals. That's the distinction here. It's a very important change, and it's part of the way the president has been engaging the private sector, pushing the kind of regulatory reform and the kind of liability reform that has greatly expanded the availability of masks.
That's the Vice President Mike Pence, of course, who's been leading this effort. And the president also talked about a potential treatment for this, an anti-malaria drug. The FDA is now going to speed up human trials on this, clinical trials of this, which is great. I played that clip earlier in the show. And the other thing, too, that I think is really important to recognize as well is that with all of this, the hope that's coming out of this every single day is the promise that is fulfilled by American innovation. Now, without question, if Don Cuomo had not stepped into it, Bill de Blasio, the mayor of New York, would have already imposed martial law in that city. There's no doubt about that. De Blasio is itching to pull a trigger and declare martial law. He would love it because that's what guys like him love to do. They love to just control every aspect of people's lives. Luckily, Don Cuomo is having no part of it. He wants nothing to do with that. And I got to give him major credit for that, too, by the way. I really do, because it's unnecessary. And he's the only thing standing in the way of Bill de Blasio essentially just ordering an absolute shelter-in-place, martial law kind of a tactic in New York City, which I'm sure a lot of New Yorkers in the city would actually probably welcome because they're, you know, a bunch of lefties over there. But anyway, here's a props to Don Cuomo here. Cut 1B.
We can still make fun of him on this, though, right?
I mean, that's why I'm calling him Don Cuomo.
I'm just saying.
His first name's not Don. It's Andrew.
I know. I'm just, you know. Sorry.
I spend half my day knocking down rumors that we're going to imprison people in their homes. There's going to be a roadblock around New York City. You will panic 9 million people who will be fleeing New York City in 24 hours if we don't clearly communicate what we mean.
I hear you, but Governor, and I'm sorry to interrupt, but then we also hear that we are on a war footing. President Trump says we are on a war footing. This is being likened to wartime. And so it's very hard for people to know whether they should be going out to a park or staying home on their version of lockdown, whatever that looks like in your house.
Yeah. Yes, I agree with that. But say that. Don't say I'm imprisoned in my home. And let's take a step back. We are on war footing. Build ventilators, manufacture PPE and gloves, etc. People stay home, reduce density, close businesses, but you're not imprisoned. You're not quarantined. You're not a prisoner. We're not going to put a roadblock around New York City, so you have to pack up and get out today. This is going to go on for months. Communicate what you mean without using terms that nobody understands and only incites panic, because that's what we're doing in too many situations.
Yeah.
You can communicate what you want, but just say it in a more clear way rather than using these buzzwords that are panicking people. I am not going to imprison anyone in the state of New York.
Okay.
I am not going to do martial law in the state of New York. That is not going to happen.
Except for Bill de Blasio. I may lock him up. If he keeps up this hysteria, the state police may pay him a visit. And I don't think the NYPD would stand in my way, because they don't like this guy either. I think they'd hold the door open for the state troopers, if I'm not mistaken.
100% would.
Oh, 100%, right?
100% would.
Because that's always the classic scene, right? You know, the Cuomo sends the state police in, the NYPD bodyguards go, "You're not getting our guy." But in this case, they go, "Oh, sure, right here, right.
Right this way, sir.
Right this way, sir, yes. The mayor's right there."
In fact,
you know what? In fact, what they'll do is cop the cop and go, "We'll trick him. We're going to tell him we're taking him into the SUV to go to the YMCA again."
Yeah.
And then we just, you know, the doors won't open and... Take him to Albany. Take him away, boys. Take him away.
They lock. He can't get out. He's trying to.
Yeah, he's banging on the door. That'd be amazing, right? And you know that's 100% how the NYPD would feel. They'd be like, Mr. Mayor, we got to move. Sir, you're going to be late for your thing at the YMCA. I didn't know I had a thing at the YMCA. Oh, yeah, sir, we got to go right now. This SUV. No, actually, we're going to do this SUV. Try this one today.
It'll get you there much faster.
Yeah, much faster. You could use your elitist self to have the whole YMCA to yourself since you shut it down for everybody else. And then you could scare the bejesus out of people on the way. And then lo and behold, it's like that scene where, you know, hello, Carlo. It turns around. It's a state trooper, you know. Hello, mayor. And de Blasio realizes now they slap the cuffs on him.
Oh, it'd be great.
Oh, it'd be fantastic.
I love the inner squabbling between Cuomo and de Blasio. It's really, you know, in all these trying times, it's really entertaining to watch.
And I love that he never mentions de Blasio's name.
Never.
It's just out there. There are certain people, I'm not mentioning names.
Rumors out there.
Certain mayors, pains in the ass. Well, not for nothing is scaring people. And I'm saying nobody is going to be in prison unless you scare people by saying they're going to be in lockdown, if you know what I mean. I do. It's the best. You're right, Greg. It's the best part of this whole thing.
Yep.
Is the Cuomo de Blasio little...
And neither of them mention each other by name. I mean, it's
And every day de Blasio has another panic-stricken press conference where he goes, and I'm really considering this now, locking everything down. And then 5 minutes later, Cuomo's on TV going, you're not locking anything down. All right? It's not happening.
But just say it in a more clear way rather than using these buzzwords that are panicking people. I am not going to imprison anyone in the state of New York.
Except one guy.
I am not going to do martial law in the state of New York.
Except on one particular mayor whose name I won't mention. If he keeps up this crap, if you know what I mean.
That is not going to happen.
He'll find a long one-way trip to Albany. If he keeps this up. I love it. It's fantastic. Can we not use buzzwords like martial law, shutting things down, roadblocks, prisons, and whatnot? But if you do, all those things are going to come true for you and only you and just you. But beyond that, no one has anything to worry about.
So good.
He also thanked President Trump for sending the Army Corps of Engineers there. Cut one.
We're looking at sites across the state to find existing facilities that could expeditiously be turned into healthcare facilities. And again, when I said the federal response is very welcome, I want to thank the president. He said that he would bring the Army Corps of Engineers here. They came here the next day. I spoke to him last night to follow up on the meeting. So this is going forward aggressively.
I want to thank the president, but not that guy whose name I won't mention. You're like, he thanks people by name and their titles, except for when he's trying to give them a message.
He's not mentioned de Blasio's name one time.
No.
And he's gone out of his way. I mean, we've played clips for the last 3 days where he's gone out of his way to thank President Trump for doing it. And he names him by name. De Blasio, no.
Yeah, he names Trump by name, Pence by name, yep. like the FDA guy by name, yep. People you've never heard of by name. I want to thank this one nurse in Minnesota. She's fantastic, Betty. But de Blasio never mentions his name, but he gives out the subtle threats.
Yep.
I mean, I want to say no one, and I mean no one, is going to be arrested on my watch unless they can't keep their mouth shut, if you know what I mean, with their scaremongering and whatnot. Speaking of nurses, Susan is a nurse in Philadelphia. I'm going to take her call in just a second.
The Rich Zeoli Show on your schedule. This is the Zeoli Show podcast.
All right, Susan's in Philadelphia. She's a nurse. Susan, good morning. Thank you for the call.
Hi, Rich. Thanks for taking my call. I met you a couple times. You're a very nice man, and I appreciate your show. I just wanted to address, I guess it was a tweet or an email from a Michelle. You know, the frustration of, can you please tell us what's going on an hour before we need to know? I just wanted to let everyone know kind of what's going on our end. You know, we are finding out different policies are changing. We're getting 2-3 emails a day. something they may have said they wanted to do in the morning is now changing by 12 o'clock and then changed again by 4 o'clock. So we're all in the same boat. Nobody, you know, we're all trying to work together, trying to figure out what's the best for everybody. So I think that the best thing is just to try to stay calm, do what they're asking you to do, keep your hands washed, stay in the house.
I think what people are talking about is the fact that 2 days ago, barbershops and salons were open, and then now they're closed. I think it's that. It's more of the, how do we not have a plan in place for these business closures that are impacting not only the employees, the business owners, but also just us in our day-to-day life? Like, I would have gotten my hair cut a few days ago had I known this was coming.
Right. Well, that's understandable, but try to remember that we have loved ones in the hospital that on Monday you could come visit them, and on Tuesday we're restricting all visitors. So there's a lot of a bigger picture out there that I think haircut is one thing, but you also have loved ones that are very sick, critical, and we can't even see them. And again, that's changing. We're calling family members saying, I'm sorry, but today you can't come in and see your loved one. So yeah. I think, you know, everybody kind of has to, instead of panicking, we have to like understand what's going on or try to, and, you know, stop listening to the news, because I think that's making everybody more anxious. I don't think it's a good thing to be telling people, you know, today 42 people in Montgomery County have, that to me is making the anxiety in our communities worse. I don't think that that is, and then when they present the information, their voices are heightened, they're breathing quickly.
Well, I disagree. The president has asked us to social distance for the next 2 weeks. If people don't know that this is spreading, if they don't know that people are catching this thing, then they're less likely to do what he's asking. So I think it's important to get the numbers out there. We're adults. We can handle it. Get the truth out there and let people make up their own decisions. But, you know, if we didn't hear that the virus was spreading, people might be less likely to stand 6 feet away from each other or avoid crowded public places, right?
So, yes, to one extent, but to the other, the continuous number, like, to, you know, at 12 o'clock there's 43 people, you know, that I think is making the anxiety worse. I think it's important to let people know that it is spreading. Yes, I absolutely agree with you.
Well, listen, first of all, I feel like I'm listening.
Yeah,
I appreciate the job you're doing as a nurse. I hope you stay healthy and be well and take good care of yourself, and thanks for being on the front lines for us. We appreciate that very, very much, and I hope you have a great day. Okay.
Oh, thanks, Rich. You too.
You're welcome. My point on the shutdown of things, I actually think, this is just my opinion, but I think that the frenetic closing of things is why people are having anxiety, not the numbers of cases. I don't think so. I think it's that. It's the, you know, governors having these press conferences and going, we've decided tomorrow to shut grocery stores down. It was, I feel like that's coming. You know, you have to get curbside pickup. We knew this virus was coming in January. And the states did nothing to prepare. Nothing. 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 They did nothing to prepare. And that's my point. To me, it's much more anxiety-inducing when a governor comes out and says, at 8 p.m. tonight, I'm closing down salons, spas, barbershops, et cetera, versus, hey, today there were 100 new cases of coronavirus. We know the numbers are going to go up. I mean, obviously, that's understandable. But it's the frenetic nature of this that is causing people stress and anxiety. People that you know, last week ordered all this food for their restaurant, and now that food is just sitting there, you know, perishing somewhere as jobs are perishing because they didn't plan properly, because the states who are in charge of this stuff did not plan. This is where I will say the media is disgraceful. You know as well as I do, had these governors been Republicans, the media would be crawling all up their you-know-what trying to figure out why they did not have a plan in place to figure this stuff out. It is not the president of the United States' job to figure out whether or not businesses in a state stay open or not. Despite what MSNBC tells you, in our system of federalism, that decision is left to the states. Now, I understand a lot of people on the left don't like that, and they would much rather have a top-down federal solution, but that is not our system of government. The federal government doesn't have the constitutional authority to start ordering the states to do this, 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 and this. It's not how it works. The states have the police power. What the federal government can do is deal with disputes between states, deal with our borders, and that sort of thing. And if these governors were Republicans right now, frenetically shutting down businesses, like it's all like they're all making it up as they go along, the media would be all over them about where their plans were. Why did they have a czar in place? Like, just flip it around for a second. Imagine if a Democrat president in January had shut the travel from Wuhan, China, and three Republican governors in our area did nothing to prepare. And now all of a sudden they're shutting down businesses left and right, frenetically trying to figure this out. Do you honestly believe that George Stephanopoulos wouldn't be asking the question? Well, I mean, the president took steps in January. Why did you not prepare for this? But you don't hear those questions being asked of Cuomo because he's the 2024 nominee for president. You don't hear this of Phil Murphy. You don't hear this of Tom Wolf. But you do hear a lot of, why didn't Trump do this sooner? Why didn't Trump do that sooner? The politics of this are despicable to me. It's despicable. And the reality is these governors did nothing to prepare, nothing. I mean, come on, if a storm's coming, they call a briefing. They all grandstand with their jackets and the podiums, the emergency command center. Think about that for a moment. Every time we get warning that there's a hurricane coming, governors jump over themselves just to do photo ops with the head of the state police next to them, the head of this, the head of that, how we're ready, FEMA, this, and this. Did you see any of that for this virus? And yet it was coming. We knew it was coming. We were being warned it was coming. And was that because Trump downplayed it? The minute that the border was shut down and the State Department started putting a warning on people going to that region, the minute that cases started building in Europe, neither Cuomo nor Murphy nor Tom Wolf thought a good idea was to summon the cabinet and say, there's a very strong possibility in a month we might have to shut down our businesses and limit social gatherings. So why don't we put a plan in place like we would put a plan in place if this was a giant hurricane coming? Instead, we are all acting as if one day we woke up, looked outside with our coffee, and saw a giant mothership above us. And we were getting a warning that unless we turn over General Zod, all of Earth is going to be destroyed in a matter of hours. So now we got to frenetically figure out, where's the alien hiding in Kansas? And if we can't find him, I guess we're all doomed. So in the meantime, let's shut down all non-essential businesses. Come on. And this is what I mean. This is what I mean about political bias in the media. It's that. It's that right there. Because a Democrat president who shut down travel to Wuhan, China back in January and had his State Department start warning people right now will be getting this media. Oh, you did everything right. Why did these Republican governors not listen to you? And what you'd have is you'd have story, heartbreak story after heartbreak story of people who've lost their business, their life savings, lost their job, restaurants going under and all this other stuff. You don't have that on the news for the most part because the Democrat governors are the ones who are, in fact, making these orders happen. I'm sorry, but everything is politics. You can't separate the politics from this. And that's the reality. So, you know, I don't think it's the numbers of people getting the virus when they show that on the media. It's the fact that the media does not hold these governors accountable for their lack of preparation. If this were a hurricane and they had done nothing, and this hurricane blew through and wiped away everything, and we turned around and said, but you knew this was coming. FEMA activated emergency plans. The president told everybody to get out. Why didn't you do anything about it? We would demand answers, right? Did the coronavirus happen last week? Did it just happen last week? Was it the first case? No. The lack of preparation and planning by these Democrat governors is inexcusable. And the fact that you hear every day on the media somebody blaming Trump for something and yet nobody asking these questions. Why on Thursday night shut down salons and barbershops? And why Thursday night at 8 p.m., Governor Murphy? Why not Monday at 2 p.m.? 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. It really burns me. It really does. Because the people, these business owners, these employees, they deserve a whole lot better than that. They got nothing. And nobody holds these people accountable because of their political affiliation. It's disgraceful. And don't tell me it's not political. Because you know it is. 100%. 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210. All right. Here's the deal. We're doing nonstop talk. The upside of this is that I've created something that's going to save all of our lives. I'm going to share that with you in just a second.
Thanks for taking the Zioli Show with you. Rich Zioli. Weekday mornings on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
I know what you're thinking, though. You're thinking, Rich, come on. Are you really upset that people can't get their hair cut anymore in New Jersey, effective 8 p.m. last night? No, I'm not. The reason why is because I was an early investor in the Flowbee. I was very early on. I bought stock in it. And so I'm very excited now. I'm going to finally cash in. You know, last week, Dawn said to me, she goes, I'm getting my hair cut just in case. What was that, Thursday last week?
Yes.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. To me, I'll be honest, a lot of this stuff was common sense.
Right.
And so I think a lot of these businesses should have, and this is the thing, you shouldn't rely on the government. Just take it in your own hands. A lot of these businesses should have just shut down on their own. And so now this immediate thing, suddenly last night, it's a mad scramble. But this thing, it spreads so quickly. That's the problem.
Yeah, you know, these businesses look for guidance from government. So if 2 weeks ago the government had said, hey, right, by the way, you heads have to up. Shut down, yeah, heads up, they would have taken this steps is, to prepare
yeah,
for it.
It would have been nice just to say, hey, heads up, you better start thinking about this. Think of ways.
Yeah. Right. It's spreading way faster than we thought.
Yes.
FYI, you may be shut down in 2 weeks.
Yes.
You may want to plan, you know, maybe lower the produce order for this week, or maybe thinking about, you know, start thinking about a delivery service or think about a take. I don't know. But nothing. That's what I mean. The mothership. We woke up one morning.
Right. And the thing is, I was last night. I mean, you know, my texts and my emails were just lighting up with people across the region saying, oh, my God, what am I going to do? And one salon owner telling me about the, you know, Small Business Association, you know, the federal government versus the local governments. And their criticism is not at the federal level. It's the state level in Pennsylvania and New Jersey, that the states are just moving too slowly, and that the states are doing things. For example, these urgent announcements coming out, boom, just like that. And you go to a website or you call a number, there's nobody there. So the problem is it's this rush now for information.
Actually, if you call New York, Cuomo answers the phone himself. That's how hands-on he is.
Wow.
How you doing? It's me. What do you need? Are you getting threatened again with the martial law thing?
Jeez.
I'm going to take care of this for you. You had the foresight to get your hair done. You were the smart one. A lot of people did not.
I canceled mine last 2 weeks ago, and now I'm crap. Why did I do that?
You look even more like Shaggy.
Yeah, I know. And it's gonna get worse because my hair at this rate grows really fast. So I'm gonna have.
Nah, you're fine. Listen, here's the deal. Years ago, the Flowbee came out. Now this was a thing you attached to your vacuum cleaner.
Yes.
And you can cut your hair at your home.
Hysterical.
And it's fantastic, and it's beautiful, and it works. And this is how I grew up. In most of my years in high school and middle school were really the Flowbee haircuts because my parents were so friggin' cheap. So, you know, Mom would attach the Flowbee and go around the room and give us all a nice little trim. And now it's back, and we're
careful,
the smart
baby.
Oh yeah, that's right. Hook it up to the vacuum. You know, I asked yesterday to Joe Sibelius when he was producing. I'll be back again tonight, 5 to 6 p.m. Right here on Talk Radio 1210. I said, Joe, find me the Flowbee late night infomercial from, I guess it was like the 80s or something. I think it was the 80s. And he found it. And sure enough, it's as 80s as you could ever imagine. Take a listen.
Before the Flowbee, only a skilled professional could produce a good layered haircut. Tens of thousands have been sold to satisfied customers. Why? Because it really works.
Proper suction is the key to getting great looking haircuts with no cleanup.
This music is awesome.
It's awesome.
This is so Flowbee.
Yes.
Right? And they're showing how you put the attachment on, people getting haircuts, smiling, like, look at me. My vacuum cleaner haircut.
This ingenious device lets you give yourself and family perfect haircuts every time.
Now, by the way, give yourself a haircut. Now, that's the key. Nobody has to cut your own hair anymore, not with Flowbee.
Oh,
you
boy.
Cut your own hair, thanks to Flowbee.
Yeah, whoever owns Flowbee stock is raking it in now.
Me. I bought 42 million shares at cost me $1.99.
Richie's Flowbee stock.
Richie's Flowbee at gmail.com. You can cut your own hair or cut a friend's hair, but that's the best part is cutting your own hair. It's like, you know, you're in the shower, you get the Flowbee going, you know what I mean? Like, give yourself a little mullet. It's definitely made for mullets.
This ingenious device lets you give yourself and family perfect haircuts every time. Tens of thousands have been sold to satisfied customers. Why? Because it really works.
Wow.
It really works.
The Flowbee.
So stop worrying about the fact that you can't get a haircut from a licensed professional. You are about to become your own stylist, kids. Do they still sell the Flowbee, by the way, or is that...
I don't think so.
I mean, I hope to God they don't, but we could bring it back.
I'm looking.
Let's see here now.
There's some really funny GIFs on it. I put some out when you talked about this yesterday.
Oh, you did?
Last night, yeah.
All right, good.
Flowbee.com is still up and running.
Oh, my goodness.
Buy that domain. See if it's for sale. Seriously, go buy it right now.
Order. Wow. A Flowbee system with a super mini vac, $139.95.
That's expensive.
You know what? Last week it was $1.46.
It's true.
Right? You're talking about price gouging. Why is everyone talking about the price gouging of the Flowbee?
So there's all kinds of, like, there's the Flowbee super mini vac that's $55. There's the Flowbee system that's $98.95. That's a mini. The mini vac is not included in that one. So you have to buy your own mini vac. Or you can buy the whole thing for like $140.
Now, I want the car attachment. Because I may have to cut my hair while I'm driving to nowhere to go to do nothing. Can you imagine how we're all going to look in a year without haircuts if this thing goes on?
It's not going to go on a year.
Somebody said in a couple weeks, we're going to find out everybody's true hair color.
Wow, the hours of operation, Monday through Thursday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, because they're out of Texas. They're in Kerryville, Texas.
Now, it was up until yesterday, one guy, a voicemail, and every now and then he'd pack up the Flowbee order, like Walter Kosh sending out a Zioli Army t-shirt. Now there's like, everybody's going to work for Flowbee. The only company in America hiring right now is Flowbee.
And Amazon.
You go to Flowbee and you'll get a job. Yep. You get a job. Man. Yeah, right now everybody's going to, the businesses that are doing well right now, liquor, yes. Flowbee, and crap made in China, they get an Amazon because we're so bored just buying stuff we don't need. It's like, you know, I could probably use a personal toe clipping mechanism. Why
Absolutely.
Not? I mean, I can't, you know.
Yes. Absolutely.
Why not? 855-839-1210. Yes, you're going to say that?
It's apparently it's still very big in Europe because they have a special line and fax for European orders only out of Germany. So the Germans, I guess, are still into the Flowbee and Canada, too. So.
All right. So what do you think of this idea, Dawn? We as a nation adopt the mullet as our national haircut, our official haircut. Because it's really the only thing you can do with a Flowbee is get the mullet. You know, it's party, business on top, party in the back.
Yes.
You do. You go for it.
You rock on the Flowbee. Yeah. How, right now, somebody in the Zioli Army is working on that little meme.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Of me with a mullet.
Oh.
That's coming.
Oh, God.
You see, Bill, you're, as a millennial, you kind of miss that phase of these, what do you call them? These infomercials, these cheesy infomercials like that.
Yeah, I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
See?
But I know, like, the ShamWow. Like, the ShamWow was probably, like, the first infomercial that we all glommed onto.
Because that guy went to prison, right?
Didn't he? Yes,
he
did.
Yeah, for beating up his girlfriend or a prostitute.
No, he beat up the Flowbee guy.
Yeah, it's true.
Or who was the guy that did the OxyClean forever? Harry May?
Oh, no. Yeah. Yes.
He was a big infomercial guy that we glommed onto for my generation.
And then there was that guy who had those books, Cures They Don't Want You to Know About. Remember that guy? He wound up going to prison, too.
There was a guy, I want to say like early 2000s, maybe late 90s. He was always like the get rich quick guy. He had the suit out of dollar bills, the dollar bill sign. I forget his name. But that was like a big infomercial. Like, read this book and you'll be a millionaire in 2 days or whatever.
How about Crazy Eddie commercials? Do you remember those?
No.
Yeah, those were great. Remember those commercials?
Yes. Although prices
are insane.
Don't know what that even is.
He went to jail too.
It's Crazy Eddie's greatest stereo sale ever. Get anything and everything in stereo equipment. Get it all now during Crazy Eddie's greatest stereo sale ever. Crazy Eddie, his prices are insane.
Guy's the best.
That's great.
Guy's the greatest.
Get those earmuffs off and listen to this. Crazy Eddie's Christmas blowout blitz is going on now with the lowest sale prices ever on receivers, speakers, turntables, compact display, or stereo rack systems, anything and everything in audio equipment. Remember, we are not undersold. We will not be undersold. We cannot be undersold. And we mean it. You don't have to ski cross country. to get the lowest sale prices on audio equipment because Crazy Eddie's Christmas audio blowout blitz is going on now at a Crazy Eddie superstore near you. Crazy Eddie, his prices are...
Listen,
now I know
that guy was a friggin' genius, man.
He was.
He
now
was
I know
a
what to do.
Genius.
Now I know what to do this weekend when I'm self-quarantining at home.
Watch
all these infomercials.
Oh, yeah. They're all on YouTube. It's great.
Yeah.
It's great. Just catch up on all that stuff when you need to. I'm going to kick it to Dawn for news, but first I want to tell you about our sponsor this hour of Nonstop Talk. Rick Hunts is the inventor of Flowbee, and he guarantees you're going to love it. 30-day money-back satisfaction guarantee, less your shipping and handling. Come on. Flowbee brings you this hour of Nonstop Talk revolutionary home haircutting system cuts your hair evenly. By the way, you know our salespeople are reaching out to him as we speak,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
There's
yes.
no doubt that right as we speak right now, they're on the phone going, hey, would you like to be the official hair solution for the Zeoli Army?
Because you're bringing this up for the first time since literally the 80s and nobody thought about it. Who knew they were still in business? What a better way to let people know they're still in business by advertising on this radio show.
You got to look at the website. Bill, do me a favor. Take a screenshot of this and tweet it out because it is like the first website ever made is what it looks like. Flowbee.com. The guy, first of all, he's got the stash. He's rocking the porn stash.
He is.
And he's got the Flowbee on his own hair.
Yep.
And it's your typical Microsoft website that you made with a front page or whatever it is. There's three buttons. Four buttons: home, contact, order, and parts.
This isn't real.
Parts.
I'm on this now. This isn't real. You
parts
made this.
List. Over.
You made this right now.
I wish I did. Now, for example, some of the parts you can get: returned and recertified Flowbee combo. Add to cart. Let me add it to my cart, and it gets the little, choose your shipping and handling menu with a drop down. Alaska, Puerto Rico, standard shipping $44.40. Let's see, I'm going to do next day because I need my Flowbee tomorrow. $64. All right. Choose payment option. Secure online credit card transaction. Purchase for $169.95. Let me click. Now you got to fill in your name and all that other crap because they're not exactly on Apple Pay, if you know what I mean.
No, they're not on Apple Pay.
And I don't think this is secure. And I'm pretty sure this has not been updated security-wise since the Reagan administration. This is amazing.
I mean,
sales tax 8.25% equals $8.74. Click here if you're a resident of Texas.
Oh, wait, Rich, there's an instructional DVD for $9.50.
He doesn't even include the instructional DVD?
You have to buy it separately, it looks like.
Now, Dawn, you'll love this. There's a pet comb attachment for $6. You can shave Buddy.
Well,
give Buddy a nice haircut.
Is it noisy, though? If it's noisy, it would frown. Oh, what is that noise? He'd be very frightened, the Buddy voice.
Yeah, it's like the vacuum cleaner.
Now, here's what I love, too, on the Flowbee. Oil. And it says this now. Use only Flowbee oil. Don't you dare use imposter oil. You need the $8 a bottle Flowbee oil with your Flowbee.
Thanks for taking the Zeoli Show with you. Rich Zeoli. Weekday mornings on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
All right, let's say good morning to Dawn and check in today. Hello, Dawn.
Yes, happy good Friday. Morning. 50 degrees, fog advisory this morning. Zeoli Show News, sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo. So the Philadelphia Police Department getting ready right now to honor murdered Police Sergeant James O'Connor today with a law enforcement vehicle procession past his home in the Northeast. The procession set to begin 11 a.m. at Philadelphia Mills, obviously in the Northeast. So due to COVID-19, we cannot gather in large numbers to grieve or to honor anybody, especially Sergeant O'Connor. He survived by his wife, his two adult children who are both in jobs that protect and serve us. So our thoughts and prayers with the O'Connor family, as well as our FOP family in Philadelphia. So an emotional morning for them. And he was murdered, as you all know. It was breaking news here on the Zeoli Show 1 week ago today. He was shot while serving a warrant. So Pennsylvania making national news for the most drastic orders to shut down. And this is on the entire East Coast, our state being called out by national news headlines. Pennsylvania mirroring actions on the West Coast, where Californians are told to stay home. So Pennsylvania Governor Tom Wolf ordering all non-life sustaining businesses shut down or risk enforcement from state police. And when we say shut down, they're saying, in other words, if you can work from home, work remotely, but not gathering employees together in a workplace. a Zioli Show follow-up on that outcry by truckers and shippers that we've been telling you about. The PA Turnpike Commission has now reversed itself, and Zioli called for them to reverse, and they did. So they reopened this morning all service plazas, flush toilet bathrooms. They're restoring the food service. Yes, starting this morning.
Wonderful. So, that's fantastic.
So maybe they heard Zioli's call because you really were felt strongly about this, obviously.
And we had a couple of truckers call us, remember? And they said, like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, so, you know, just recognizing America's truckers delivering vital grocery, medical, factory supplies amid all of this COVID-19. By the way, toilet paper shortages, and we've kind of giggled about it a little bit, but there are officials warning it could end up causing big problems across our nation for sewage systems. So officials are worrying that a shortage of TP in homes could end up literally sending dysentery onto our streets. Oh, this happened in California.
Oh, nice. Oh, my God. Oh, so we got that going for
us.
That?
Yeah. Oh. So people in California, they were using, like, ripped up T-shirts.
Oh.
And, yeah.
Like, well, they're also homeless, though. I mean, let's be honest. It's California. It wasn't exactly like they had sanitary conditions in the first place. They got a major problem out there with that, right?
That's true. But they're saying, California officials, and this is a quote, "We are reminding people to only flush the three P's, pee, poop, and paper."
Thank you. Thank you for that. Three Violating P's. The FCC on three occasions right there. We appreciate that.
It's a news story, and it's a direct to quote, yes, from officials, I swear to you. By the way, video games, no surprise, huge, the biggest usage ever. So there's a game named Plague Inc., at the top of the UK's App Store's paid games chart, and it's a simulator for viruses.
You know, Dawn, here's the thing. I was in the liquor store last night. I bought about 10 years worth of tequila. And they have did you know The Walking Dead has their own line of booze?
Yes.
They have Walking Dead Apocalypse Bourbon. I thought, man, that is freaking genius marketing, you know?
It is.
Genius.
You know there's going to be a wine company. You know this is exactly, they're going to make this stuff.
Oh, yeah. End of the World Red, you know.
It's true.
Drink it if you got it. So I'm sorry. So this game is called what now?
So it's called Plague Inc.
Plague Inc.
It's a fun game to play, by the way.
Is it?
I played it before. Yes.
All right.
I don't think Stalker should play it, though. Or is
no,
it
I was
going to
say his anxiety level, Dawn. It's too real. Yeah. He can't do it. We'll lose him.
Because it's literally showing, you know, it's a simulator for what's happening to us.
Yeah, plagues take over, you know.
What could possibly go wrong?
Greenland is the hardest to take over.
And by the way, within that game, you get various treasures. You can pick up like a machete along the way, a face mask, a Flobee. So it's nice to get all the things you need.
A Flobee.
So.
That's what my boys, that's why kids of video who love video games, they're thrilled with it. You know, they're just like playing video games when they're not doing their schoolwork.
We have a little of that, by the way, there's an audio clip. These gamers, they put out a little PSA about how you should just play games right now.
Yeah.
I won't play the whole thing, but Greg, let's play a little bit of that.
Yes.
Let's cut six. Dozens of big name streamers, pro players, professional esports organizations come together to promote staying home and playing games for the greater good of the world.
The world is at war against an invisible enemy.
The novel coronavirus.
The one that causes COVID-19.
You might be sitting there thinking this entire thing is overblown.
That we're living in fear.
That the coronavirus is just the flu.
But you're wrong.
You're wrong.
You're wrong.
And the only way that we can prove that to you is by having lots of famous gamers.
Like lots and lots of famous gamers.
Maybe I'm not that famous, but...
Repeating how important...
How important this is.
How important it is...
That we all stay inside.
Wash our hands.
And play more games.
Play more games.
Play more games.
See that? It's the right thing to do now. Dawn, it's just to play games. Just stay at home and play games.
This is our generation's war.
Thank you, Greg. Thank you. Thank you very much for that.
We have the NBC 10 First Alert forecast.
It's our generation's war, the guy was saying. Did you hear that?
Yes.
This is our war. We got to stay in our fat ass and play games all day. So this is our war with our Flobee.
From 8 to 9 this morning, 50% chance of rain, 78 degrees today, very warm. The sun will peak out with a 30% chance of showers this afternoon, which means we will all be on rainbow watch. And this weekend we'll have low 50s, sunny, nice weather. But today, 78 degrees. So this Zioli Show news sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo for incredible savings on one of their few remaining 2019 XC60s or XC90s. So how about $10,180 off suggested retail price? So Cherry Hill Volvo, where relationships really do matter. Dawn, the Zilli Show News.
Thank you, Dawn. Appreciate it very much. 855-839-1210. I want to go to, let's see here now. I was talking earlier about these governors who did not plan properly. Richard is in Westchester. Richard, good morning.
I know exactly what they were doing in late January and early February. They were all piling on trying to get John Bolton to testify to stretch the impeachment out for another 2 months while the virus was percolating and Trump was actually doing something.
Yeah, and the state governors were all going on about amnesty and sanctuary cities, yeah. And remember all that stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was their big
priority. They had their minds on other things.
Safe injection sites? Do you remember a couple weeks ago we were discussing safe injection sites in Philadelphia? Remember that?
Right. Yeah, that would have been great.
That was the priority back then.
Yeah. But also, one thing about the flow beat, didn't you ever watch Wayne's World with Suck Cut?
No. Was that in Wayne's World?
It was.
It's in the beginning of Wayne's World where they demonstrated the suck cut on Garth.
Oh, we got to get the audio clip of that. We got to get the clip.
Yes. It's great.
All right, Rich. Thank you, Richard, for bringing that to our attention.
There was a GIF on it.
What is it? Is it a GIF or a GIF, by the way?
I thought it was GIF, like the peanut butter.
No, it's a GIF.
It's a GIF?
Is? Yes. I'm going to look that up because I thought that was the whole point that they put on GIF because the owner said it's GIF.
We're all going to die, but we're worried about GIF or GIF.
I know.
We're not all going to die.
This is
kidding.
The stuff we used to talk about, you know, the gender bathroom. Like, nobody's talking about any of that stuff now.
No, nobody's talking about safe injection sites either. You notice that?
No, you're right.
Because you can't safely inject heroin in a safe injection site and still be 6 feet away from people. So that's out the window, too. All the problems of life have been solved now, apparently. It's amazing. All the things. Nobody's whining about the borders anymore. You notice that either, like in terms of closing them? In fact, there's not a single person out there going, it's racist to close the southern border. People are like, can you shut that freaking border down, please, as soon as possible? 855-839-1210. Wait, the creator of GIF said what now, Bill?
He did say it is
GIF,
but everyone ignores him. And right. We're going to call it a GIF.
Oh,
and
so
that
it's a
was,
GIF.
Remember those collectible GIF peanut butter? Because he said, yes, it's supposed to be GIF, but everybody just says GIF because they don't want you to think they're talking about peanut butter.
Oh, right. Okay.
That makes sense.
So just glad we clarified that.
Karen Thomas on Twitter says, embarrassed to say we bought a Flobee years ago. good for you. I'm proud of you, Karen, for admitting that. Claire says, Rich, you calling out the Democrat governors for being asleep at the wheel needs to go viral. Greg, can you help us make a clip that we can tweet out nationwide? Bill, can you make one of those little video thingies?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, cool. I'm the only one saying this, apparently, in America. So, as often, it's why this show, you know, you're ahead of the game. Everybody would be saying it on Monday, but then you said it today. What else now? We got this check-in on social media, by the way, brought to you by Cherry Hill Volvo. Pennsylvania car dealerships are closed. Cherry Hill Volvo is open, so go visit them on Route 70 in Cherry Hill. Go say hello. Relationships matter, and they know your relationship with us matters as well. Rob on Twitter says, no lie, I've been using a Flobee for 30 years. I say, Rob, send us pictures and prove it. I want to see that. I want to see those pictures of you with the Flobee. 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. So the issue of China, still in the news. The president said yesterday, the media called him racist for the China travel ban. Cut number four.
You did say a few days ago, though, you did have a sense that this was a pandemic that was coming. So why was the United States not prepared with more testing?
We were very prepared. The only thing we weren't prepared for was the media. The media has not treated it fairly. I'll tell you how prepared I was. I called for a ban from people coming in from China long before anybody thought it was. In fact, it was your network. I believe they called me a racist because I did that. It was many of the people in the room. They called me racist and other words because I did that, because I went so early. So when you say we weren't prepared, had I let these tens of thousands of people come in from China a day, we would have had something right now that would have been, you wouldn't have even recognized it compared to where we are. How many people have passed away? How many people have died as of this moment? You could multiply that by a factor of many, many, many. So when you say that I wasn't prepared, I was the first one to do the ban. Now other countries are following what I did. But the media doesn't acknowledge that. They know it's true. They know it's true, but they don't want to write about it.
And why did Democrat governors in our area not sit down in January with their people and say, let's have a plan in place in case this virus gets here? so we don't have to just piecemeal it along the way and act like we're all surprised. None of those governors did. None of them launched their emergency centers. You know, we have paid a lot of money as taxpayers for these very fancy emergency command centers. In New Jersey, they call it the Rock. And they're very, very fancy after 9/11, you know, with state-of-the-art everything, so that the governors can be able to prepare for any emergency, any contingency. So would somebody in the media ask Wolf or Cuomo or Murphy why none of them activated their ROC centers, their emergency command centers back in January, assembled the cabinet and said, hey, you know what? China coronavirus might be coming here. Or why don't we do something to prepare for it just in case? It's a great question. The reason why it's important for us to call it the Chinese virus or the Wuhan virus is because the world needs to hold China accountable for what it did to its own people. I'm sorry, but I choose the innocent people of China over political correctness. And I encourage liberals to do the same. The people there have no voice. We can be their voice and talk about what their government did to them, or we can succumb to political correctness once again and allow those people to have no voice because they're dead or sick because of their government's inaction. And by the way, so are a lot of people around the world. And as we're debating this nonsense over whether or not it's PC to call it Wuhan or Chinese, because this virus started there and the Chinese government made so many absolute purposeful cover-ups, the world now is dealing with a pandemic. These are the early days from Axios, that right-wing site Axios. Greg, that right-wing site Axios.
It's not right-wing.
Not right-wing, Greg?
Not right-wing.
You sure?
I'm 100% sure.
Okay. The early days of China's coronavirus outbreak and cover-up. Axios has compiled a timeline of the earliest weeks of the coronavirus outbreak in China, highlighting when the cover-up started and ended and showing how, during that time, the virus already started spreading around the world, including in the United States. Why it matters. A study published in March indicated that if the Chinese government had acted 3 weeks earlier than they did, the number of coronavirus cases could have been reduced by 95% and its geographic spread limited. This timeline, compiled from Wall Street Journal, The Washington Post, the South China Morning Post, and other sources, shows that China's cover-up and the delay in serious measures to contain the virus lasted about 3 weeks. Ask your friends on Facebook and Twitter who say it's racist to call it the Chinese why they side with political correctness over the people of China, the innocent victims of China. Why their white, liberal, elitist, political correct garbage trumps the people of China who have no voice. Ask them that, please, if you would. On December 10th, Wei Guizhan, one of the earliest known coronavirus patients, starts feeling ill. December 10th, December 16th. Patient admitted to Wuhan Central Hospital with infection in both lungs, but resistant to anti-flu drugs. Staff later learned he worked at a wildlife market connected to the outbreak. December 27th, Wuhan health officials are told that a new coronavirus is causing the illness. December 30th. Al Fine, a top director at Wuhan Central Hospital, posts information on WeChat about the new virus. She was reprimanded for doing so and told not to spread information about it. Wuhan doctor Li Wenling also shares information on WeChat about the new SARS-like virus. He is called in for questioning shortly afterward. Wuhan Health Commission notifies hospitals of a pneumonia of unclear cause and orders them to report any related information. December 31st, Wuhan health officials confirm 27 cases of illness and close a market they think is related to the virus's spread. China tells the World Health Organization, World Health Organization's China office about the cases of an unknown illness. January 1st, Wuhan Public Security Bureau brings in for questioning 8 doctors who had posted information about the illness on WeChat. Do you still wonder why it's important that we hold China accountable here? Why we call it the Chinese virus? Not because we're racist, because the people of China need their government to be held accountable, and they can't do it. God, the politically correct crowd makes me sick. You make me sick. You really do. You people make me sick. These poor people, what they had to go through, and they have no one to advocate for them, and the world is going to forget because of PC. The world's going to forget because of PC. China tells the World Health Organization, okay, so January 1st, they bring in for questioning 8 doctors who had posted information about the illness on WeChat. An official at the Hubei Provincial Health Commission orders labs, which had already determined that the new novel virus was similar to SARS, to stop testing samples and to destroy existing samples. January 2nd, Chinese researchers mapped the new coronavirus's complete genetic information. This information is not made public until January 9th. January 7th, Xi Jinping becomes involved in the response. January 9th, China announces it has mapped the coronavirus genome. January 11th through the 17th, important pre-scheduled CCP meeting held in Wuhan. During that time, the Wuhan Health Commission insists there are no new cases. They're lying. January 13th, first coronavirus case reported in Thailand, the first known case outside China. January 14th, the World Health Organization announces Chinese authorities have seen no clear evidence of human-to-human transmission of the novel coronavirus. Of course, that is a lie. January 15th, the patient who becomes the first confirmed U.S. case leaves Wuhan and arrives in the U.S. carrying the coronavirus. And it goes on from there. Your white, elitist, privileged, political correct garbage is covering up the absolute sins and horrors of a communist regime that led to their own people dying and suffering. So I will call it Chinese so the world remembers, much like I will refer to the Holocaust as Nazi. I'll refer to the purges of Stalin as Soviet, the cleansing by Pol Pot as such, and this cover-up of a global health tragedy by an awful, evil communist regime. And if that doesn't pass the political correctness muster of the brunch crowd, frankly, Scarlett, I don't give a damn. 855-839-1210. The people of China deserve better. I will be right back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.